right, Tuesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Let me say it to everybody in the chat. Didn't say hey last night. Rumble was acting up. Black Bart is on. Big Jim Go Blue is on. Robin Aroni's on. Skunk 71 is on. General Plowman is on. Scooter Magruder is on. Volvo 960 is on. Richard Perry's on. Prayer Works 2 is on. Judy Anita is on. Mike Griffith is on. Adam Ombard is on. Just Jesse is on. Granite 2468 is on. Keeper 1376 is on. Sheila K is on. JD Joy 25 is on. Day Now 59 is on. Let me see here. Sunwoo 45 is on. K4 VMS is on. Volvo 960 is on. Bonnie 4 is on. Stefa Toms is on. Bud Dave is on. Lisa Kinzer is on. Let me see here. I Am Mark is on. Let me see. Scrolling down. Rafa 9821 is on. Lisa Sobo is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Those Jesus People is on. Peg McGroin is on. PD Frank 1974 is on. Conservative Warrior is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Just a couple things off of the pregame and just a couple thoughts before we launch into Epstein. And I know there's other news, and I hope that people don't mind the fixation on, you know, one story. A lot of times that does happen. I know about the ICE attacks in Texas at PSU. I see on there. Thank you, $47 Rumble rant already. Thank you so much, PSU. But anyway, I know there's other, you know, you have the ICE attacks, people attacking ICE in Texas. And yeah, I'd love to be able to cover it all, but just can't cover it all in an hour and 5 minutes, hour, 10 minutes, however long we go from the moment of the, you know, when the pregame's over. But anyway, just a couple of things off of the pregame. You saw that Trump is now going to be supplying what he calls mainly defensive weapons to Ukraine, which, by the way, how can any weapon be defensive? I mean, weapons are weapons. They're not, a wall would be defensive. You know, these are offensive, probably more tank buster missiles, things like that, to keep the Russians neutralized, which has been going on forever. You remember Hussein Obama gave the Ukraine blankets, and then Trump gave them actual anti-tank missiles, and then Trump was actually impeached for giving them the weapons they actually wanted. And make that make sense. You didn't, of course it didn't. But anyway, so he's pledged now. If you saw Ratcliffe's response, CIA Director Ratcliffe, I don't want to be gross. He looked, I'm gonna put it in a non-gross way, euphoric. Aaron knows what I'm talking about.
Yes.
He looked like something was going on under the table, but I'll leave it at that. So I'm like, he did. It looked pornographic. And he was so happy. So happy about Ukraine receiving more weapons that I'm like, okay, this is like odd. But that's what it means to be a deep state hack, which Ratcliffe has turned out to be. Because the CIA is a bigger mess now than it's ever been. And, you know, Aaron and I were talking about this last night, as we do all the time, really. And Aaron, just have the dead clock holstered.
Yep.
Really, because, I mean, I'm probably going to go to 87 times tonight. You know, but my whole thing is, again, what's the difference between voting Republican and Democrat? Well, it would be worse if you voted Democrat. How would it be worse exactly? I mean, my own thing is, how is it worse when this continues to go on? Because this right here is the Titanic, and the big, beautiful bill takes us over $40 trillion in debt. By the way, before the bill is over, and you watch, again, if I'm wrong, I'll come out and say it like nobody else does. But I will come out and say I'm wrong. But if by the end, because the fiscal year starts in October of this year, so October 2025, to October of 2026, that will be when the big, beautiful bill is actually in place and governing our economics in the United States. Now, if this does not go down, who's going to come out? I mean, I'm just wondering, who's going to come out from the Trump administration and say that it's wrong? You're like, Tom, you're constantly attacking Trump. Okay, I don't worship a human being. Deficit spending and increasing our debt is evil under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Would everybody agree on that? Then how is it righteous under Donald Trump? And well, you're spending it on good things. It doesn't matter if you're, listen, an iceberg is an iceberg. You've got to understand this. An iceberg is an iceberg. And again, just using the example of the Titanic for symbolism. If you've rammed the iceberg, which this right here, we've already rammed the iceberg. Did the Titanic go down in 2 seconds? No, it went down over a period of hours. So here it is. We've rammed the iceberg, okay? The unsinkable ship, which everybody thinks the United States is, sunk. It had layers of steel that could never be penetrated that were. And the ship sunk. Tilted all the way over and sunk to the bottom of the ocean. So, what's the difference? Okay, we're on the exact... Everybody, Aaron, make sure you get... I know that if you get this, everybody's getting this.
Yeah.
If the clock is, let's say, 90 minutes, symbolically speaking, 90 minutes could be 15, 20 years, who knows? But if the clock is 90 minutes until we are at the bottom of the ocean, what's the difference whether you have 90 minutes of Republican or 90 minutes of Democrat?
Yeah.
What's the point? And everybody's arguing, the sycophantic neocon MAGA morons are basically arguing, all of them, including, I mean, you should see, it's hysterical watching people now rip into Cat Turd. I unfollowed him immediately because he was one of those ones calling me fake MAGA. People like, not me directly, but people like me, fake MAGA. Now he's all of a sudden anti-Trump administration, but still qualifies as MAGA because he doesn't apply his own principles to himself, which makes him a principleless charlatan moron is what it makes him, which is a sad thing to say because it's amazing. Right on COVID, right on vaccines, and then you sycophantically, Democratic Party style, follow a human being. It's exactly what you were against the first time during COVID, and you were against the Trump administration during COVID. I honestly don't. And then I'm against the Trump administration for a precision strike on Iran. And now I'm anti-MAGA. I mean, it just, these people, and I see this, you're like, Tom, why do you get more frustrated with this than anybody else? Because it's the essence of being a pastor. You pastor a church and you see people not apply their principles to themselves. They apply it to everybody else. They will badmouth everybody else, but when they get badmouthed, they leave the church. I mean, they never apply their own principles to anybody else. So what's the difference? People are like, well, thank goodness we don't have Kamala. The clock would still be running, folks.
Yeah.
She would, yes, she would be spending it on, instead of spending it on ICE, instead of spending it on a border wall, she would be spending the money on solar panels. She would be spending the money on NGOs, and that's worse, but it's still the same debt. You're still adding rocks to a sinking ship. You're actually punching holes in the Titanic. You're like, well, isn't it good that we're spending this money? No, not unless you cut somewhere else. Isn't it good now? We're already at a $200 billion bill for Ukraine, and now Trump's sending more weapons to him. For how many more? How many billions did it cost for the Iranian precision strike? And then you have Netanyahu, who's now his third visit to this White House, third visit to the White House. He comes with a Nobel Peace Prize nomination. I mean, oh my God. I mean, the mutual bending over is truly something to behold. It really is. The mutual bending over for each other is really something to behold with people. In order for you, if you want to spend all of this money and add all of these ICE agents and CBP agents, great. Then cut the military. Do we really, we have 45 bases around Iran alone. For what? A third world country that can't even fly to America with a nuclear bomb. They don't have the ability to fly to America with a nuclear bomb. And we have 45 military bases around. None of that can be cut at all. In today's drone era, you could cut your military in half and just hire a bunch of errands. Seriously, hire a bunch of errands. Cut the military in half, hire a bunch of errands, they just run drones. Sit there and have drones. I mean, what were all the successful attacks lately? What have they been? Ukraine to Russia on Russia's day, Pearl Harbor Day, calling it the Russian Pearl Harbor Day. That was with a drone strike. The strikes inside of Iran conducted by Israel that killed off all their military leadership, all drone strikes. So the military can't be cut at all. I'm not even talking about cutting soldiers. I'm talking about cutting wasteful spending. You could actually double our number of soldiers, which we should, and decrease wasteful spending. There's $21 trillion missing out of the Pentagon alone, $21 trillion, out of our $37 trillion debt. I'm so used to saying, when Trump took office, that was, by the way, that was the 36. So tell me, what's the difference? Because as soon as Trump took office, he got behind a CR, continuing resolution, to continue spending at Biden levels. And now the big, beautiful bill increases the spending on Biden levels. But it's for quote-unquote good things and it's done by Trump, so suddenly it's a good thing. No, it's not. Not unless you cut other wasteful spending. All the NGOs are still being funded. Well, they cut USAID, but you put it under state. Is it really cut, or is it just put under state and now just controlled by the State Department? All the other NGOs are fully funded, by the way. I mean, there's other, you know, they're trying to cut the Planned Parenthood funding. That's been challenged by a judge. Maybe I'll have time to get to that. Maybe I won't. But anyway, so more weapons to Ukraine. Pam Bondi, I just, when you were watching the video on her, what she's espousing, she had 250 victims that no longer exist. I love the Tucker Carlson video. That's my favorite video of the pregame, where he wants to apologize to Jeffrey Epstein and I guess Ghislaine Maxwell for falsely accusing them of committing crimes. I guess Ghislaine Maxwell is as innocent as Derek Chauvin. That's what. If there's no victims, okay, there's victims, but there's no perpetrators. So how's there a victim? I mean, that's like saying water without ice. I mean, it's like saying ice exists without water. How do you have two? She claims, and emphatically so, and then loves to deflect. He's a disgusting human being. What about the investigation, Pam? He's a disgusting human being. What about the 250 victims, Pam? He's a disgusting human being. What about your cover-up, Pam? He's a disgusting human being. Okay, we all know that already. That's like the binder release. We already know all of that. Thank you. And I love that watching these people who are accusing me of being fake MAGA, like Rogan O'Hanley, DC Drano, getting now publicly humiliated. As they should be. If you're going to be a sycophantic, Hitler-esque follower, then you know what? You need to be publicly humiliated. It's the essence of progressive leftism is to sycophantically follow a human being. And you can easily turn a right-wing administration into a left-wing one by sycophantically following a human being. You don't do it. And then she says, you're going to release the flight log and the names. Aaron, just daily check?
Yep.
Okay,
nope.
Just making sure. We know nope. Flight log, no names. Okay,
correct.
I just want to make nothing.
Nope.
And that was months ago. Got nothing. And I love this last thing off the pregame at 9:17. What the guest on Tucker Carlson on Tucker Carlson show said, the lie is a signal that the U.S. will protect the perps no matter what. So that's what they're putting out right now. Isn't it funny, of course, that Netanyahu shows up on the day when Pam Bondi publicly announces that there is no Epstein client list. And here comes Netanyahu. He's being signaled that, you know what? We're not going to be looking into Mossad. The lie is the signal from Pam Bondi and Donald J. Trump, Cash Patel, and Dan Bongino that the U.S. will protect the perps no matter what. We're sending out a signal, Mossad, CIA, MI6, and all of your collaborators. We're not going to go after you. That's the bit that, you know, you always like to use the word big lie. There's your big lie right there. We're sending out a signal that we are not, it's just like Comey with 8647. That was a signal to anybody and everybody to take a shot at Donald Trump. That deep, now remember, Comey, I mean, you couldn't be any more WEF, deep state, than James Comey and his daughter, Maureen Comey, who ran the Epstein investigation, who ran the Epstein prosecution and the Diddy prosecution. So the Ghislaine Maxwell end of it anyway, because Epstein committed suicide prior to his prosecution. By the way, he was going to be fully exonerated. He's a multi-billionaire. He's going to be fully exonerated. Yeah. Why would he commit suicide when Maureen Comey is going to come in and exonerate him anyway? No, she's the prosecutor, Tom. No, she makes sure that she does a weak enough case that these people get very minimal penalties. They keep their mouth shut. Ghislaine Maxwell is keeping her mouth shut because she doesn't want to end up in a labor camp, a federal prison labor camp. So she's keeping her mouth shut. Because it could be way worse than where Ghislaine is sitting right now, and she knows it. So she's keeping her mouth shut. And her boss and her former lover, Jeffrey Epstein, is dead. So you know what she's doing? Keeping her mouth shut. And guess what P. Diddy will do for the rest of his life? Make stupid records and keep his mouth shut. That's what he's going to do. He'll spend maybe a year in lockup, if that, with these prostitution trafficking charges, none of them underage, although we know he did do that, but he's exonerated. Because of the horrendous case put forward by Maureen Comey. So, I mean, that's the plan behind all of this. And it's just a giant signal to everybody. You know what? We're not going to prosecute anybody. Even if we do prosecute, don't worry. We got Maureen Comey there. We got Maureen Comey there, and she's going to handle the quote-unquote exoneration. Oops, I mean prosecution. That's what she's going to do. So, I mean, it doesn't get any more deep state than James Comey. ever. I mean, we could spend an entire show. Sometimes these just kind of shows that, like, I could spend an entire show on James Gunn. All right, let's go. Let's just open up. Here we go with Epstein. Carly Bonet video. Just a brief little synopsis of the timeline. Can't remember the guy who does this video. I'd give it like to, but it's Carly Bonet video, but it's some Brett. I think it's Brett Pike video. I'm on the wrong video. Good. That's who it is. Brett Pike video. You guys got it. The Epstein story. Here's a brief timeline. Play it for me.
The Epstein client list is on my desk. We have released the Epstein files. This is only phase one. We are going to release the flight logs, but the FBI is holding back. They have hidden files. We have tens of thousands of videos of Epstein with children. No, we're not going to release them. We're protecting the victims. Oh, look, the one victim who was willing to speak up ended her own life. No, don't worry that her dad said there's no way she did that.
What are you, a conspiracy theorist?
The accusations she made against Prince Andrew weren't true, or the accusations she made against Bill Clinton, even though ABC News anchor Amy Robach admitted on camera that she had seen the evidence, and she admitted this all when she didn't know she was being filmed. And then ABC suppressed the story after being pressured by the royal family. So we could now settle this once and for all, there is no client list. Ghislaine Maxwell is probably in jail for no reason. The accusations against her father are probably nonsense, and Epstein is definitely, definitely in no way affiliated with a foreign intelligence agency or a foreign country that seems to have a lot of influence over American politics.
All right, so that sets the timeline. So that's it. So now we know all that. I just wanted to kind of set it up here since we're opening up the Epstein section. So here is really what caused the firestorm today was Trump's response. Here's the Carly Bonet video. This is Trump versus reporter. Reporter asked Pam Bondi about the Epstein files, the client list, about, you know, potential bribery scheme, all those different things. And he actually interrupted Pam Bondi's response and gave this response. Play it for me.
Your memo and release yesterday on Jeffrey Epstein, it left some lingering mysteries. One of the biggest ones is whether he ever worked for a American or foreign intelligence agency. The former labor secretary, who was Miami U.S. attorney, Alex Acosta, he allegedly said that he did work for an intelligence agency. So could you resolve whether or not he did? And also, could you say why there was a minute missing from the jailhouse tape on the night of the—
Yeah, sure.
Could I just interrupt for a second? Are you still talking about Jeffrey Epstein? This guy's been talked about for years. You're asking, we have Texas, we have this, we have all of the things. And are people still talking about this guy, this creep? That is unbelievable. Do you want to waste the time and do you feel like answering?
I don't mind answering.
I mean, I can't believe you're asking a question on Epstein at a time like this where we're having some of the greatest success and also tragedy with what happened in Texas. It just seems like a desecration, but you go ahead.
Sure. First, to back up on that, in February, I did an interview on Fox, and it's been getting a lot of attention because I said, I was asked a question about the client list, and my response was, it's sitting on my desk to be reviewed, meaning the file, along with the JFK, MLK files as well. That's what I meant by that. Also, to the tens of thousands of video, they turned out to be child porn downloaded by that disgusting Jeffrey Epstein. Child porn is what they were. Never going to be released, never going to see the light of day. To him being an agent, I have no knowledge about that. We can get back to you on that. And the minute missing from the video, we released the video showing definitively the video was not conclusive, but the evidence prior to it was showing he committed suicide. And what was on that, there was a minute that was off the counter. And what we learned from Bureau of Prisons was every year, every night, they redo that video. It's old, from like 1999. So every night the video is reset, and every night should have the same minute missing. So we're looking for that video to release that as well, showing that a minute is missing every night. And that's it on Epstein.
And that's it on Epstein. Now, this is a very, very strange response from Donald Trump. You're asking about, are you really going to ask about Epstein? He knows it's the biggest story around. And listen, you may not believe this, and that's fine. I don't like attacking Donald Trump. Me and Aaron sat here for 7 hours straight, watched him get elected.
Yep.
All night. And we're thrilled he was elected. This is very disappointing. You don't just act like you're not disappointed when you are.
Right.
I mean, you don't just act like everything's right that's wrong, and everything's wrong is right. You don't do that for a human being. It's called being sycophantic in nature, or worship at that. So, I mean, suddenly you want to talk about Epstein as if we haven't all been talking about it for years and years and years. That would be like saying, you want to talk about Trump? Well, yeah, you're president. I mean, that is absolute deliberate propaganda. That is a weak Jedi mind trick. You want to talk about Trump? He's trying to make it unpopular to talk about Epstein. He's trying to make it unpopular to talk about Epstein. To make it not in vogue to talk about Epstein. As if everybody's not already talking about Epstein. Haven't been talking about him for years. You want to talk about Epstein? I haven't even heard of that guy for years. That's exactly what the Democrats do in every single scenario. Every scenario. Biden, this is the greatest economy ever. We're all sitting here and eggs cost $12 a carton. This is the greatest economy ever. Donald Trump's doing the same thing. But now I guess according to Cat Turd, that now is the truth. Now lying is the truth because Donald Trump's doing it, right? And Pam Bondi, I'm never going to release the child porn. Whoever asked you to release it, you dingy blonde? Whoever asked you to release the child porn? Nobody ever asked you. And here comes the deflection. That disgusting man, as if we all don't know he's a disgusting man. I mean, it's just a deflection. So what she's actually trying to do is deflect her own failure onto you by falsely accusing you of somehow being okay with him being a pervert. You wanted me to release this footage? Nobody ever asked you for the footage, you stupid political whore. Nobody ever asked you for that. Nobody did. Nobody wants to see it. None of it. But hey, Pam, since he has all of these videos of children being raped, I would assume those would be what, Aaron? Clients? But you can't tell him there's a client list? You know, it doesn't have to actually be a written client list. It's just like the dossier. That's the way they deflected. That's the way that people like Brennan and Clapper and John McCain and everybody else, and it's all the same party. You know, if you haven't given up on the whole Republican versus Democrat delusion, I don't know what to tell you. Because they are two heads of the exact same freaking snake. There's right, there's wrong, spirit of the world, and there's the spirit of God. And that's it. That's it. But it's the exact same sort of delusion that they pulled off from the Senate and House floor when it came to the collusion hoax. When they're point blank asked, are you in possession of the Steele dossier? And John Brennan says, no, I'm not in possession of the Steele dossier, but he was in possession of every bit of the paperwork of the Steele dossier, but he didn't put a label on it calling it Steele dossier, so it wasn't the Steele dossier. That's what they always do. Whether it's, you know what, we're not teaching CRT anymore. We're not teaching critical race theory at our schools anymore. We're teaching TRC, theory of race criticalness. That's the game that they always play. And if people out there want to continue to play that game because Trump's now playing it, fine, go ahead. But understand, the Titanic is on a clock. Aaron, you got that clock for me?
Yep.
The Titanic is on a clock. It's going down, whether it's Republican or Democrat, unless those numbers slow down. And you're like, what does this have to do with Epstein? Because it all has to do with honesty and integrity. All of it has to do with honesty and integrity. You're either going to be honest or you are not. Well, you can't be honest and succeed in Washington, D.C. because Chuck Schumer says the intel agencies have 20 ways from Sunday to get you. Well, then you know what? That's the price that you pay. Someone's going to have to eventually turn up and say, you know what? I'm being honest. You can bring it back to me. So, I mean, again, this total deflection. An absolutely Twilight Zone, weird, propagandist, offsetting response by Donald Trump. You want to talk about Epstein as if nobody's been talking about him every single day. That would be like, again, saying, you want to talk about me? You want to talk, Donald, everybody talks about you every day. You're the biggest name in the world. Everybody talks, and it's a surprise that somebody wants to talk about you. It'd be a surprise. You want to talk about the open border right now? You want to talk about CBP? What are you talking about? That's so strange. You were asked about it 8 billion times. You sent your AG, Pam Bondi, to go make binders. You sent her onto that shows to promise. Oh, and the last thing off that, she's a bold-faced, blonde, political hack. Just a liar. She was asked, I should have brought it because Peter Ducey did a great job with Caroline Leavitt today during the press conference. And he quoted what she was asked. She was asked specifically, do you, Aaron, I mean, I'm going to run this by Aaron, make sure that I'm right.
Yep.
Do you have the client list? Yes. Aaron, does that mean the Epstein file or the client list?
I think the list.
Okay, me too. Wouldn't you? Would everybody agree? Yeah. I mean, those are two different things. And she has, what I was answering was I had the entire Epstein file, the JFK and the MLK files. JFK was never mentioned. No. MLK was never mentioned. The files were never mentioned. The client list was what you were asked about. The client list, and you said you had it, and you were reviewing it. And that, what was her? I got the exact response. Let me see here. I'll be releasing the flight logs and names possibly tomorrow. That was in March.
Yeah.
Aaron's date today?
It is July 8th.
July 8th. Yep. Have we got that list?
No.
Because I've been checking with Aaron every day, and that's the second check on this show
for
the flight logs. Still haven't gotten yet. So... And then Trump goes, you want to talk about Epstein? Yes, as a matter of fact, I do, Donald. Because according to your AG, 250 girls were all raped by his clients and the clients that no longer exist. And you have Netanyahu sitting right across from you, who had at least a major part in orchestrating it. I believe him, MI6, CIA, and even Russian intelligence were running Epstein. And because, you see, again, if you believe that even our intel is differentiated from foreign intel. They're not. They're all about, the CIA, despite what all the movies say, has nothing to do with securing the United States of America. It has to do with securing globalist corporate interest. That's it. If those corporate interests are in Russia, they'll secure it. That's it, because they don't recognize, the CIA does not recognize, and that includes John Ratcliffe now, they do not recognize the United States as a sovereign entity worthy of protection. They look at the United States as a globalist state governed by a globalist government out of Davos, London, and Glasgow, and sometimes Beijing. That's it. And whatever they can do to secure those corporate interests, and it's not corporate, just corporate. It's fascistic interests, because it's the merging of governance and corporatism, which is Davos. Donald Trump is against that, but doesn't understand it, obviously. Because he's giving into it. And everybody can stand around and act like it's, you know, 4 billion D chess, but it's not. He's protecting somebody. He's not protecting somebody. He's protecting some people by not releasing this. And if you have kids that have been raped, then it needs to be released regardless of the cost to our intel community. Our intel community are not pro-American. They're pro-corporatism, fascistic global corporatism. That's it. Let's go to this. Now, I'm showing two long videos tonight. This one's 5 minutes plus, and the other one's 9 minutes long. But you got to watch them. This is just a reminder from 2019. Janine Pirro, don't miss my interview with forensic pathologist. Janine Pirro's not saying anything now. It's weird. Oh, that's right. She works for Trump. So now Trump's lies are now correct. Even though she knows they're lies, but now they're correct. And that's what it means to be a worshiper of a human being, which will usher in Revelation 13 and 14. The mark of the beast is when you start worshiping a person. Janine Pirro, don't miss my interview with forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Bodden. Listen to the facts. Play it for me.
I smelled a rat back in August, right after Jeffrey Epstein's shocking alleged suicide behind bars. And now famed forensic pathologist hired by Jeffrey Epstein's brother says the evidence suggests that Epstein did not kill himself. That forensic pathologist, Fox News contributor Dr. Michael Bodden, joins me now with more. And it certainly is a pleasure and an honor to have you here, Dr. Bodden. You are one of the most famed forensic pathologists in the world, and I thank you for being here. Now let's get down to business. You and I know this because we both have done this before.
Yes.
All right. Now, so we got this medical examiner in New York City. The first thing she does within 5 days, she makes a decision that the death of Jeffrey Epstein is a suicide. And do you think that was unusual?
Well, I think the autopsy findings had not shown that to be true, and that it required further investigation.
Okay, so what are the autopsy findings? Let's get them.
The autopsy.
I think we have a full screen, guys.
The autopsy findings.
Right there.
Showed that there were petechial hemorrhages in the eye, which you prosecuted people.
Right.
There was a deep mark around in the neck, and three, the hyoid bone and thyroid cartilages fractured in three places. It was a crushing of the neck, not a single ligature in a hanging. And he was not hanging. The one photograph that was taken of the scene after he was improperly removed from the scene, after he was dead, it should not have been removed and destroyed the scene, show that the ligature was about 3 feet off the floor.
All right, we're going to get to that in a second. Now, I want to be real clear. I want the viewers to understand, and I've tried these intentional strangulation cases, too.
Yes.
The breaking of the hyoid bone, the fracture of the thyroid cartilage, that means serious force on the neck.
Yes.
Okay, that you don't normally get in a hanging, especially in a hanging. I want that next screen, guys. I want you to look at the... Here's a bunk bed. The height is 5'6". On his knees, Epstein is 4 feet tall. You now have been able to identify that the tie was right there.
Right around here.
Right around here. So let's assume we've got Jeffrey Epstein. I'm out of the chair, guys. We've got Jeffrey Epstein. If he's kneeling and the ligature is from there, there's like no force that can break a thyroid, the hyoid bone.
Well, the ligature is tied up here,
yeah,
but it's down to the floor as far as the body goes.
Yeah.
So there's not enough force there to cause any fracture.
Any fracture at all,
that's
let alone
right.
the fractures
in this particular
you
kind
and
of
I
hanging.
Know are indicative of intentional right. strangulation, a homicide. Right. All right, let's talk about the fact that there were five agencies investigating. You know and I know that a decision by a medical examiner is not just based upon the body and the autopsy, that in fact there are other circumstances that you assess.
In every death, the autopsy gives a lot of information, but has to be interpreted in the light of all the surrounding evidence at the scene and other evidence that may be found in the investigation of the death. So when somebody has overdose of drugs, it could be suicide, homicide, accident, depending on all the other information that's available.
What would you have wanted to look at in addition to the body?
Well, the condition at the scene, because apparently he had, from the nature of the ligature, which is very tight around the middle of the neck, not the top of the neck, he had been dead for a few hours. We could see that right away before the body was found. The cameras weren't working that was supposed to be on him. Like, the FBI would come in, it's a federal case. What did they find? Was that sloppiness because the cameras didn't work? Or were the wires cut? Or did they find something that showed the FBI, in looking at the film, that was not good condition? They show him putting a noose around his neck,
right,
or an unauthorized person going into his cell.
Mm-hmm.
Did they investigate and in all these cases that happened, they have to talk to the inmates in the surrounding
cells.
Their adjacent cells. What did the other inmates see? And interview the guards too. But the inmates can have
guards
a lot of knowledge.
Guards were asleep. Why are both guards asleep?
Occasionally I've seen investigating deaths in prisons that one guard has fallen asleep and then fudged the report. But I've never seen two guards fall asleep. That doesn't sound right at all. And there was one photograph taken after the body was removed, which you should look at, and it looks kind of staged. The noose and the body was...
There's no DNA from the noose.
If the FBI or the New York City police had examined the ligature, the noose and ligature for DNA, it would be interesting to know, is it his DNA or somebody else's DNA?
All right, doctor, we got to go. You know, I hate it. I love this case. I want to have you back.
All right, so there you go. Just do a quick rundown on it. First of all, they disturbed the crime scene. Do you know when you don't disturb the crime scene? Ever. You're like, Tom, how would you know? That's 25 years in law enforcement, 25 years as a deputy sheriff, right where I'm sitting right now. You don't ever disturb the crime scene. You are trained. Of course, pardon me, Aaron. This is the FBI, though. I mean, this is like the greatest. And by the way, this was one of the most, was allegedly, one of the most secure prison facilities in America. It was federally run. One of the most secure units in America where the cameras don't work and the guards fall asleep. Never has happened ever in the history of this facility before. Ever. Not one time has this ever happened before. But it happens with Jeffrey Epstein. That's the last part I forgot about what Bondi said. That, you know what? Every night there's a minute missing off the camera. Every night.
Wow.
What is she talking about? what kind of technology needs to be reset every night in the most secure facility on the planet? We have, it's funny here, at our security cameras don't miss a minute every night.
No.
And I mean,
dude,
what is she talking about? Imagine being stupid enough to believe that. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. A lot of Americans put on masks and took 12 vaccinations.
True.
No, you're real. Oh, that's what Trump says. So it's true. I'm not fake maggot. You're an idiot. I mean, come on. So anyway, so they disturbed the crime scene. You know when you never disturb the crime scene? Ever. You never disturbed the crime scene. They took photos after the body was removed. Who does that? Who does that? Nobody does that. I mean, you photo the entire crime scene as is. Otherwise, it's not a crime scene. I told you the FBI sucks, didn't I tell you? They suck. They suck. They are the worst crime. They are the worst police agency on the planet. I'm telling you right now, you want to solve a crime, you give me Sarasota County Sheriff's Office above any FBI. Any crime whatsoever. I don't care if it's federal. I don't care if it's local. I don't care if it's municipal. You give me the Sarasota County Sheriff's Office, CIB, Criminal Investigation Bureau. You give me them. I'll take them. I'm telling you, they suck. You do any sort of chase, car chase, give me the local cops, not the federales. They suck. Their tactics suck. Their weapons suck. Their communication skills suck. They put themselves in extreme jeopardy all the time. They lose every gunfight they're ever in. Go ahead, trace back the history, find an FBI where they're successful in a gunfight. They suck. And they suck here too. You go into a crime scene and remove the body. Of course, we know it was on purpose. I'm just saying. You never remove a body pre-photos. The body doesn't get removed for hours and hours and hours. Guards asleep, cameras broken or off. Okay, both of them. Both guards asleep. Amazing. They're sleeping right next to each other. Were they spooning while they were sleeping? Did they get on the floor and spoon? I'm just curious. Were they doing whisker on whisker crime? You know, were they nuzzling each other's whiskers? I'm just curious what was happening. And you look at the photos. The bed was 5'6", folks. Okay, I'm 6'2". So that bed would come up about my lip. That's how high it was. Jeffrey Epstein on his knees, which he would have to be to hang himself, is 4 feet tall. And when he hung himself from 4 feet to 5'6", which would be an 4 foot, 12, 18 inch fall. He breaks his neck from an 18 inch fall. And that would have to be a complete collapse fall for eight. And at most it'd be 18 inches, a foot and a half. And breaks his 3 bones in his neck. Imagine how stupid you would have to be Dan Bongino and Cash Patel and believe that. Or you're just an immoral liar. Than be Pam Bondi or Donald Trump pushing this hoax. The highest he could have hung himself was 5'6" in the air off of a bed. He would have to be on his knees and be 4 foot too high and then hang himself and then fall. And by the way, it wouldn't even be an 18 inch fall because there wouldn't be that much difference. So it'd be maybe a foot, even 6 inches fall. It would never break his neck. And he has hemorrhaged eyes from that. Do you know what it takes to hemorrhage your eyes? It takes somebody with their hands around your neck, strangling you. That's what hemorrhages your eyes, your petechiae in your eyes. Dark mark around the neck. Around the neck. Here it is. I mean, look how. You see, if he even fall, I mean, 18 inches is a lot. He probably would have to fall like 7 or 8 inches. That's as much as he could fall. And he breaks his neck. I mean, imagine how asinine of a human being you have to be to believe any of this. I mean, imagine that. I mean, I just wake up every day and thank God I'm not stupid like some of these people. And not stupid enough to claim that which I know is true is false. Or that which I know is false is true. Like Bongino, Patel, and Bondi. At the request of Donald Trump. At the command of Donald Trump. So disappointing. Like Aaron says, aren't you glad you voted for him? What's the difference? Yeah. What's the difference? The same thing we heard with the Biden administration. That's the same. This is the same. What's the difference? Tom, you're so negative. Listen, there's good things, and I illustrate those good things.
Yep.
Dave, he's not on a good streak right now. We're sending more money, more weapons to Ukraine. He's denying that. You're talking about Epstein? What do you mean? Who is this Epstein person? It's like Alex Jones says. Next thing you know, we're going to hear that he was never a criminal. Oh, and from mainstream media sources, President Trump said in a new interview that he was joking when he promised to end the Russian-Ukraine war in 24 hours. I never saw that as a joke. And by the way, I knew that that was him being bombastic, but that certainly has gone nowhere at all. But the thing is, I don't even blame him for that. I blame him for the Iran-Israel conflict. That conflict was going on because of the weakness of Joe Biden and Barack Hussein Obama. That has nothing to do with him. And trying to end a Slavic conflict is absolutely useless. They've been fighting each other for 1,000 years. That's why we don't belong in the Iranian-Israeli conflict. We don't belong in any of these things. Got nothing to do with us. So that's how he killed himself and broke 3 bones in his neck. That's it. That's what Bongino's telling us to believe. Don't worry, Aaron. Don't worry, Joe. He read the report filed by James Dennehy. Don't worry. It's solid. The one they fired for tampering with evidence and refusing to release it. But they read his report, so it's all good. That's like believing Fauci. Again, it's amazing that all of these people, I could spend the entire show, and I've got one at least, Bongino talking about how never let this go now. Something's going on with this Epstein thing. And now he's there and he bends over. I don't care. I'm done with Bongino. I'm done. I mean, I hear Megyn Kelly. Megyn Kelly is an opportunist. She's a pragmatist. She's an opportunist. She tried to sabotage Trump from the beginning. Now she's MAGA. And Dan Bongino wouldn't lie. Okay, that's what we all thought. That's what we think all the time until they're in Washington, D.C. And they're, for some reason, they're... I don't know what it is, but they leverage people in all sorts of different ways, but they leverage people. So anyway, 3 bones broken in the neck. So according to Michael Bodden, who is really the most acclaimed pathologist on the planet, especially at that time, it's impossible for him to hang himself. Now, he did not have one injury that was consistent with a hanging. Not one injury that was consistent with a hanging, but yet he hung himself. It's just like there's not one thing consistent about the skull that what Russia has right now that says that it's Adolf Hitler. It's a female skull, but if you don't believe that, you're not MAGA or whatever. You just have to believe absolute asinine lies. And there's no way the man hung himself. It was, Michael Bodden, it was a crushing of the neck, not a strangulation, a crushing of the neck, not a ligature strangulation where you have a rope, no matter what, ropes are way thinner than people's giant hands. He had a crushing injury. Like basically somebody took a brick and pushed it down his neck. It's a crushing injury. Like this, not a ligature injury, which is a rope. It'd have a very, very simplistic, thin ligature wound on his neck, whether it was a scratch, whether it was a laceration, or even if it cut into his neck, that would be a ligature wound. He had a crushing wound. Everybody knows the difference between an abrasion and a laceration. There is absolutely no signs and no evidence that the man committed suicide. But don't worry, Bongino, Patel, and Bondi have all told us that he killed himself somehow. What, did he strangle himself to death? I mean, just because that's the only way. It had to be hands around the throat. It had to be hands around the throat or somebody with their foot on his throat. Had to be that. Did he do that to himself? And by the way, if you're hanging yourself by your bed, which is impossible, they actually make it impossible for you to kill yourself in these federal contracted facilities. They make it impossible for you to kill yourself because nobody's going to, when you can push yourself out, your body is going to make you push yourself out. People hang themselves. They hang themselves where they can't get out. If you can get out, your body's going to push yourself. You hang yourself from 5'6" off of a bunk bed, which is impossible because they don't even have a post sticking out for you to do it. So we're just assuming that the impossible is possible. And since the crime scene was disturbed, I mean, the crime scene was destroyed. There's no way to even they removed the body and everything else. But anyway, you're going to instinctively push yourself up. You're hanging from. The rope has to be long enough to hang yourself, but it can't be long enough for you not to save yourself. Because because you're not hanging from the ceiling. Unbelievable. All right. So who is this Jeffrey Epstein guy? Let's deep dive into this. There is nobody better on the planet when it comes to deep diving the intel community than Mike Benz, former CIA operative. For the first video with Jesse Kelly, what was Epstein's relationship with the CIA? This is a long video, 9 minutes, 36 seconds, but you got to watch every second of it. If you're wondering why it is there's this big cover-up right now, why is that? Why is John Ratcliffe sitting right next to Trump, right next to Trump, Hegseth Ratcliffe, on the day that they announce when Donald Trump goes, Epstein, who's that? Why are we talking about that? Why is John Ratcliffe sitting right there? Because here's Jeffrey Epstein's relationship with the CIA. And if you actually expose Jeffrey Epstein, you expose that the CIA is not American, is not trying to defend Americans or keep Americans safe. Play it for me.
Describe what you think. I mean, I'm assuming some of this is theory because we're never going to know. But what do you think Epstein was to the CIA?
Well, I think Epstein was working with the CIA in the early 1980s at the very start of his career after he left Bear Stearns. In 1981, right after leaving Bear Stearns, Jeffrey Epstein created a one-person for-profit company in his one-bedroom New York apartment. It was called the Intercontinental Assets Group, and it held itself out as an international bounty hunter for high-net-worth individuals to both recover money and shield money internationally. So right away in 1981, he starts this company that basically helps that helped royalty and high net worth individuals basically recover loan debts or assets owed to them that were held in cryptic offshore bank accounts, as well as helping them structure their own assets in a way that would make it difficult or impossible for others to collect those assets. And in 1982, just 1 year into that, he got a fake passport, an Austrian passport listing his residence as Saudi Arabia. This is a fake passport. This was recovered by the FBI in 2019, when they drilled a hole in Jeffrey Epstein's safe and recovered this. Prosecutors held this passport up at the Ghislaine Maxwell trial. This fake passport was so good that it was able to go through four different country checkpoints. It had a false name, but Jeffrey Epstein's photo, so that he could get back and forth. And why Saudi Arabia? Well, because Jeffrey Epstein, one of his main clients for the group that he set up in 1981 was Adnan Khashoggi. Adnan Khashoggi was the CIA arms runner for the Iran-Contra affair. When Congress blocked the U.S. federal government through a congressional law called the Boland Amendment, with the Democrats controlling the House of Representatives, banning any U.S. funds from being directed to the overthrow of the Nicaraguan Sandinista government, and the Reagan White House and National Security Council and Central Intelligence Agency wanted to do it anyway, they were left with a problem, which was that the CIA had been neutered during the Jimmy Carter years. There had been prohibitions on the categories of covert activity it could do, and the Boland Amendment from Congress blocked them from using U.S. aid funds or State Department funds to run the operation. Enter Jeffrey Epstein and Adnan Khashoggi, his client. During the Iran-Contra affair, which dogged the entire Reagan administration when all this came out, the U.S. was selling arms together with Israel to Iran, which is kind of ironic as the current geopolitics of Israel-Iran play out around missiles flying overhead earlier this month between those two countries. Israel and the U.S. were selling weapons to Iran at that time through Adnan Khashoggi, the Saudi arms dealer who had been working with the CIA for 30 years. In fact, this all came out in formal under oath testimony from the Paris office of BCCI, which was the Bank of Credit and Commerce International, one of the largest banks in the world, which was effectively a CIA proprietary bank for running arms to the Mujahideen when the CIA was creating the Islamo-terrorist network that would later become Al-Qaeda and then ISIS. Adnan Khashoggi was a client of that bank together with the CIA, and the head of the Paris branch said that Adnan Khashoggi personally told him that he was working for the Central Intelligence Agency, and Jeffrey Epstein was his money bundler. This is at the height of the Cold War, mind you. And so you see this relationship going back to the early 1980s. In 1985, Jeffrey Epstein becomes linked up with Les Wexner in Columbus, Ohio. Les Wexner was the head of what at the time was the largest retailer in the entire United States, Limited Brands, famous for Victoria's Secret and many, many others. Les Wexner's tax attorney, Arthur Shapiro, was murdered in a gangland-style assassination in 1985, the day before he was set to testify in an IRS grand jury investigation. The IRS had been looking into the Wexner Empire's finances and failure to, I think, file taxes for something like 5 years and 7 years of investigation. Arthur Shapiro, who ran that, was supposed to testify to the IRS grand jury just one day before he was gunned down. It was right after that Jeffrey Epstein appears to meet Les Wexner and then go on to have durable power of attorney over the entire Wexner enterprise. In 1993, Jeffrey Epstein personally negotiated the sale, the transfer of Air America, which would then become Southern Air Transport, a CIA proprietary airline, straight from Miami, where it got busted as part of the Iran-Contra gun trafficking and narcotics trafficking in order to run this illicit operation in Iran-Contra. That very airline used Jeffrey, and that Jeffrey Epstein was a critical part in the structuring of this CIA operation. He then negotiated the transfer of that CIA airliner straight to Columbus, Ohio, where the Wexner Empire was based, for the primary purpose of transporting the Limited's cargo between Ohio and Hong Kong, which is another one of these narco states. Hong Kong was won by the British during the Opium Wars and has been kind of a lawless gun and drug running zone ever since. How does one get to be the financial bundler for the CIA's main illicit arms trafficker in the Middle East without having any scrutiny from the Central Intelligence Agency? How does one personally negotiate the transfer of a CIA proprietary airline? By the way, Southern Air Transport declared bankruptcy in Columbus, Ohio, the very day the CIA put out an acknowledgement of Air America's role in the gun running and narco trafficking in Iran-Contra. Subsequent to that, the U.S. State Department personally made Jeffrey Epstein the tenant on the lease for one of the second largest residence in all of New York City. This residence was seized from the government of Iran as the U.S. was putting sanctions on it, and then personally leased out to Jeffrey Epstein. How do you have the State Department as your personal landlord? Do you think you or I, Jesse, could score something like that? The State Department then ended up in a legal dispute with Jeffrey Epstein because Jeffrey Epstein subleased that apartment to the defense lawyer for the French Connection and Pizza Connection drug scandals, where you had CIA involvement in narco trafficking that was effectively hushed over in this trial through this very defense lawyer that Jeffrey Epstein then leased the State Department building seized from Iran from. What I'm trying to communicate here is that every aspect of the Jeffrey Epstein story is part of the restructuring of intelligence work after the scandals of the 1970s, when the CIA was barred from doing activity directly, and that's when USAID came into the picture and took the baton from CIA, and the NGO apparatus that we're now living under with the National Endowment for Democracy and Internews and the U.S. Institute of Peace and the web of private contractors and private financiers in order to be the front men for CIA operations. Jeffrey Epstein was present at creation of that entire apparatus. There is zero chance on God's green earth that there are no CIA files on this guy. And the fact that this Justice Department has effectively pointed us to the FBI when this is a CIA job is not a good look for transparency.
All right. So anyway, so yeah, here you have Epstein. And again, he's just allegedly, he's a nobody. I mean, that Donald Trump. Who is this Epstein guy? I know I'm being hyperbolic with that, but I'm just saying, well, you want to talk about Epstein? Yeah, you know what? I'd like to talk about Epstein because he ends up committing suicide in a secure federal contracted prison. And I'm just, you know, who is this guy? It's as if he might have other value than what's being publicly stated. So it's you know, here's his background, because we all know about Epstein Island and the sex trafficking. And again, just like with Diddy, there's a whole lot more to that than meets the eye. Obviously, it has to do with honeypotting and leveraging people into compliance. We know that. Although now we've been told that would never existed either. That there's no evidence that he was honeypotting anybody. Bill Clinton was on his plane 26 times. We know that. But there's no evidence at all that he was leveraging high-profile figures around the globe. That's an absolute lie. And those high-profile figures are on the videos that Pam Bondi has allegedly watched. So here you, so Epstein starts off at Bear Stearns. He started in the 80s. And then suddenly, it sounds like NGOs. Remember, because all USAID, Agency for International Development, not AID, Agency for International Development, the USAID funds is nothing but a cutout for the CIA. This is the kind of thing that they do with that cutout money. He starts a one-person company in his apartment. Just one person. And suddenly is trading in the billions, called Intercontinental Assets Group. And he helps elites. So he does, he's at Bear Stearns. He quits that job and starts his own company in his apartment. And somehow or another, he becomes basically the center of international trade in a hyperbolic way. I state that. I mean, I just get this. It starts a company. He doesn't have a building. He doesn't have employees. He's all alone, as if he were a CIA asset, which of course he was, because the CIA basically funded Intercontinental Assets Group. So people are always like, you think Jeffrey Epstein made his money by sex trafficking? Nobody's ever said that. That's another thing Bondi's come out and said. There's no evidence that he made his money through sex trafficking. We never said he made his money through sex trafficking. He used his money to sex traffic, and he used sex trafficking to honeypot high-profile figures. That we all know that for Mossad, for MI6, for the CIA, and for Russian intel. We know that. So anyway, this Intercontinental Assets Group helps elites recover assets from offshore bank accounts. That sounds legit. And then for some reason, he's able to, like Crooks was able to, like Ryan Routh was able to, the assassin in near Mar-a-Lago, and Crooks in Butler, Pennsylvania. They have these weird international connections. Well, suddenly Epstein, who's from Bear Stearns and then starts a company alone in his apartment, is able to ascertain a fake passport, just like Ryan Routh had a whole bunch of different IDs and had multiple felony convictions, but never spent one day in prison, but was there to assassinate Donald Trump as if it was a CIA op, which of course it was. He has a fake passport that's so good that he penetrated four different high secure countries. It easily penetrates them. He uses it to go to Austria, and Saudi Arabia, where he ends up working with and is basically the financier for Adnan Khashoggi. That's weird, isn't it? The Saudi arms trader running guns for the CIA for Iran-Contra. So what was happening in Iran-Contra? The United States and, of course, Israel were selling weapons to Iran. Remember, the place where we just did the precision strike. That place. Okay, we were selling them weapons along with Israel to fund the Contras in Nicaragua. Everybody remember that? Remember Oliver North, all that stuff? These guys in here weren't even born yet, but I do. I remember that. He's supposed to be a hero. Wasn't. He's a CIA op. Oliver North was. Selling weapons to Iran to fund the Contras and the Mujahideen inside of Afghanistan fighting the Russians. And they're like, well, isn't this good versus bad? Nothing is good versus bad. Nothing. It all has to do with 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. All right, well, then, lo and behold, 1985, he ends up meeting, that's just coincidentally, of course. Aaron, it's all coincidentally.
Oh, of course.
Les Wexner, who owns Limited Brands, one of the largest retailers on the globe. And the IRS is looking into him very strangely. So now Les is now vulnerable, right? Was he guilty or innocent? Did he ever, I mean, Donald Trump, remember all of his IRS entanglements, or not IRS entanglements, his real faux real estate, civil fraud, real estate crimes, they're not crimes, they're civil offenses, but, you know, Letitia James with his $500 million fine for his civil real estate fraud allegations. Remember that? Same thing going on here, same sort of leverage, and here's Epstein. But according to Pam Bondi, there's nothing to see here. I mean, there's nothing to see. This guy's a nobody. He just, you know, he diddled some kids. But other than that, he's nobody. No, he's way bigger. And this is my point with all of this, and I'll get back into it. My point in all of this is Jeffrey Epstein had to die to cover for the CIA and Mossad and MI6 and possibly Russian intel. So anyway, it just happens when Les Wexner, this huge business owner, is the IRS is looking into him. And we all know that can be used at any time. Because, you know, the IRS can be used to leverage anybody. And Jeffrey Epstein. And then, you know, Arthur Shapiro, who's Les Wexner's tax attorney, is set to testify, and he's assassinated on the street. That happens to tax attorneys all the time, doesn't it? I mean, you know that's a high-risk job, tax attorney. You can be assassinated. No, it never happens. But he gets assassinated, and who swoops in to take over? Oh, Jeffrey Epstein comes in to take over. And Jeffrey Epstein's injured and starts running Les Wexner's finances. Isn't that weird? And just it runs. And then lo and behold, he saw the transfer of Air America, the gun running, drug running flight operation of the CIA gets transferred to Les Wexner and then goes out of business. That's weird, isn't it? And then lo and behold, Jeffrey Epstein gets an apartment from the State Department, a high dollar, probably brownstone. Owned by Iran, it gets given to him by the State Department. But there's not. But Pam Bondi says, and Donald Trump says, Epstein, who is this guy? CIA operative who had an office at Harvard until 2019, and has been leveraging and honeypotting high profile officials for decades. That's who he is, and that's why we would like to know who his clients are. Isn't it a national security? Isn't it a national security issue that we know who he is? And what he's done and who his clients were? Are his clients possibly people who have sabotaged the United States, who have committed espionage against the United States? Isn't that remotely possible? We're also supposed to close that door, just like Pam Epstein said. I mean, like Pam Bondi said, that's it on Epstein. Oh, really? I don't think so. All right, Mr. Nobody video. Either they blackmailed this guy, Bongino, or cloned him. Play it for me.
Listen, that Jeffrey Epstein story is a big deal. Please do not let that story go. Keep your eye on this. Catherine Rumler, I want you. We need to keep the heat on this case, folks. There are a lot of people who are knee-deep in the Washington swamp who are not telling you the truth about serious allegations out there that Epstein may have had video and audio of people out there doing things they shouldn't have been doing. And you should be asking yourself the question, how is it that all these people, the CIA director, the Obama fixer, Bill Clinton, all intersected paths with Jeffrey Epstein? Jeffrey Epstein isn't with us anymore, and nobody seems to want to talk about it. Outside of a few entrepreneurial media outlets saying, hey, this is a big deal.
He killed himself. I've seen the whole file.
Oh, there it is. Suddenly, Dan Bongino is all over it, then assumes office, and then suddenly he killed himself. He's told never to let go of this, but then he assumes office. So he gets corrupted. I don't know if it's something in the air in Washington, D.C., but he ends up walking into Washington, D.C., and is suddenly corrupted. You know, I just have to address this because it's funny. But, like, if you're requesting us to refund your Rumble rant money, no problem, okay? No problem. We'll refund your $47. All right, I mean, that's what you want. All right, I mean, give me a break. No problem. As a matter of fact, just get a hold of me. I'll mail you a check for $47. All right? There you go, clown. You're both clowns, all right? Both of you. I hope you're still watching. You're both idiots and you're both clowns. There you go. So anyway, dissident media video. Epstein was part of the elite social fabric. Let that sink in. Here's Tucker Carlson again. Play it for me.
He, you know, knew everybody. I mean, I will say, I mean, in his, you know, in the defense of people who got caught up in this because they went to dinner at Epstein's, like that George Stephanopoulos, for example, who I disagree with on everything, but like, I know George and I don't think George was having sex with kids at Epstein's. Yeah. Like Epstein was, you know, just part of like the social fabric, right? And Trump knew him for that reason also. But when he killed himself, I remember thinking people were like, he didn't kill himself. I was like, yeah, he probably killed himself. You know, he's in jail or whatever. His brother, Mark, called me a couple of days after he killed himself. And so began this like 3-year long conversation with Mark Epstein and looking into it in a way I never thought I would. He didn't kill himself.
Yeah.
He was murdered in his cell.
Yeah.
And I think that's really meaningful. It's the most secure federal lockup in the United States. How can that happen? Well, it can't happen without state actors involved.
That's right. Look at the story that we were told at that time. Part of the information dump here by the administration is some hours of footage. We were told that footage didn't exist. We were told that this was some guards who were, you know, off. They fell asleep. None of it exists. And actually, you know, it was all part of a screw up and the camera angles wouldn't even be able to show anything. But that's why they're relatively confident. So where did this camera footage even come from?
Well, the camera footage doesn't even, first of all, it ends before they take his body out. Right. Why can't we see that?
Yep.
And the angle on it is absurd.
Yeah.
But the real question, just not to be pedantic, but the real question is, who are the other inmates on that cell block? So no one came in or out of the cell block. I think that's fair. It was the most secure cell block in that federal lockup in Manhattan. But who are the other inmates? And I went to Department of Prisons, which is part of DOJ, and asked, like, what are their names? Oh, we can't for privacy reasons. Really? These are people who can't vote or own a firearm?
Yes.
You know, for the rest of their lives? Yes. But somehow they've got, like, a HIPAA law or something around who's a federal inmate? You, actually.
So you got, here's another. I just have to show you this one. It's too good. It's too good not to show you. Shadow of Ezra video, former mobster who was once in the same jail as Jeffrey Epstein, claims there's no way Epstein could have killed himself. Play it for me.
You were in the same prison as Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
What do you think happened?
Jeffrey Epstein would have to be a magician to try to hang himself in that cell. I was in that cell. There's nothing on the ceiling. Yeah. The bedpost is this high. I couldn't even go to a restroom without them walking back and forth and having me on camera. You know, there's no way he committed suicide.
So you reckon he was killed?
Yeah.
Why?
I believe that. I mean, look, there's no doubt there was powerful people involved with him, 100%. Mm. These people have a way of, you know, covering things up.
And again, not to just continue to beat a dead horse, but it's just absolutely obvious that suicide is not what occurred. And this, like, man who spent time in that exact same facility, and he said it's impossible. People are walking by every second of the day. And lo and behold, everybody's asleep and every camera's broken or not working on the night that Epstein hung himself, right? All right, that's good for tonight. I could spend another 2 hours on it. I got other stuff too, so many things. Hopefully that'll be the end of the Epstein stuff for a while. We'll see. We'll see what it pops up tomorrow. But anyway, appreciate you guys. Love you. Stick around for the post game. As always, it's awesome. Way more uplifting than the show tonight. But anyway, back here tomorrow night, 9:00. Love you all. God bless you.